Blog Talk Radio.
Hello.
May the angels help to lead the way. May the friends.
prayers to the families, man. Shout up on your soul and keep it safe. And all the homies that have passed away, they're there to greet you as you pass the gate. And as you head to the tunnel's light, I hope it leads to eternal life. We save a prayer for the homie Pop.
Good evening.
How are we doing on sound? Can everybody hear me out there? I just hung up on you and you were on the line. I apologize. I couldn't get rid of that gentle guitar that was very soothing. So call back in. My buddy Dalek is going to am I still Gregging? Sorry, Dalek, my right-hand man and my brother is going to take over the board in a moment and things we'll smooth up a little bit. There's Dalek now. Awesome. So I'm going to sign out here, Dalek, and you sign in, take the board, and all will be as it should be.
All right, dude. All right.
Cool.
Awesome.
You rock.
Hunky dory. I'm sorry, bro. I'm so sorry about that.
Can you get on
the
board when I'm signed in?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to log out anyway. It's all good. All right, the board is yours, Alex, and welcome everybody for tuning in. What we're doing tonight is doing a little warm-up for tomorrow's show and also just having a little shoot-the-shit episode of Third Rail Radio. And welcome everybody, getting some notes and business out of the way. Tomorrow night we have a pretty exciting event coming up on Revolution Radio. I believe at 8 o'clock, and jump in the chat and correct me if I'm wrong, but Revolution Radio is going to kick off a little fundraisers for some good friends in our community who have always been there for other people time in and time out. And so we'll play the old quid pro quo game and pay it back. That's definitely one of the little credos that I like to operate by. And it builds... it builds people up instead of breaking people down, so it's good stuff. I am going to get into the chat room so I can see what you guys are saying. So we have that starting. The time may have corrected. I do believe there's going to be three shows. Sandwiched in the middle is going to be the main event, and Canadian Glenn will be guest hosting for Revolution Radio, and he's going to be hosting essentially a fundraiser and a show that he bid on and won at a fundraiser. So it's just all about raising funds. No, not really. It's all about love and giving back to your fellow human being. Not all. Tomorrow will be. And, you know, I think balance between, you know, between the serious and the just outright fun, nutty lunacy, balance is critical. And Rebel's teaching me that right now. So thanks, Reb. So we'll be doing that tomorrow. Tonight we're talking about anything. I'm going to definitely touch on Ukraine, Venezuela, but let's start with maybe some lighthearted things. That the violence that is going on in Ukraine is really what's the word to describe it? It's medieval. I've never seen anything quite like it, and I've seen a lot of violence in my days. Big fan of riot porn, so I've seen quite a bit. But the battling with sticks and shields you know, hand-to-hand sort of orc on dwarf combat, you know, the images coming out of Ukraine, it's crazy. And of course we do.
You know, like, absolutely, dude. I mean, like, everything going on, dude, they're also like medieval armor and shit, like, that's crazy. I think we're living in the medieval ages.
it really is. It's if you follow me on Twitter, I've been up really late the last all week, you know, kind of rubbernecking to both Venezuela and Ukraine, and I've seen some incredible videos of of these makeshift Molotov cocktail factories, improvised body armor, where you know there's like 25 people making Molotov cocktails in like a tiny shed, and you know, and then in the garage there's 25 people making duct tape and cardboard newspaper body armor. We've probably all seen the catapult. As far as what's going on there politically, I have no fucking idea, except for the fact that the people who will pay the highest price for whatever political positioning is going on in Ukraine will be the people, like you, Dalek, like me, like Glenn, like Rebel, like the people out, you know, who are out there trying to make their better country, their peaceful protesting. Maybe there's not very many of them left now, but ultimately it'll be those people who will pay the price by either losing their life or a child or a brother, sister, etc. You know, these like jackbooted thugs sort of represent the resistance, or don't represent the resistance for it, but are certainly, for the time being, the enemy of my enemy is my friend philosophy, are on the side of the so-called, pro-Western resistance. And, it's pretty zany. So I have no idea what's going on politically. There's posturing, there's all sorts of rumor and innuendo about, a well-detailed plan going in, ousting. Dalek, if Glenn is on the line, bring him on, because, he and I have been kind of following this thing simultaneously. And if Glenn, if you can hear, give a call in, we'll touch on this. Sorry, I'm just trying to get in the chat room on another account because I feel lost. Good Lord. All right. And then in Venezuela, I know less. I don't know anything about what's going on in Venezuela. So if anybody is listening and has, even somewhat grip on what's going on in Venezuela, that'd be great to get a report from that. And next, I just came from Blue Vino's show, and Blue Vino and Dax were talking about what is going on in the universe, cosmologically speaking. Is that the right word? Or is that like cosmetics? Oh, well. There's a lot of changes going on right now on our Earth. Things that, throughout modern science have remained constants. Things like the carbon radioactive dating formula, the speed of light. Some even argue that gravity's strength is changing, but there seems to be all these sort of pretty significant Earth changes going on, and we all hear about climate change and global warming. Go ahead. Yeah, it's a lie. Yeah, climate change, that's a lie. Just because climate change is a constant, global warming is a misnomer, without any question. It's a brand.
Actually, no. The whole thing started. If you're really going to get that whole thing straight, All you have to go back to is Frank Luntz, man. That's your end-all, be-all of all arguments when it comes to climate change and global warming.
If people
don't know who Frank Luntz is, it's really easy. Look him up. He's known as the spin doctor. He's on Fox News a lot. He's on all news a lot. Usually when there's a debate thing going on, he does, like, the questionnaires. And the last political debate they had, he was on, and he was teaching Sean Hannity how to ask a question to get the answer you want or to get the response that you want. That's his job. They pay him to word things in a way that people will agree with what he's asking, just so that it looks like, oh, see, everyone agrees with me. Anyways, what I was getting at is it was called global warming, but they anticipated that it was going to get really freaking cold. So because they anticipated that, they saw it coming, just like, any meteorologist and such would probably figure that out and be like, you guys know that you keep saying global warming, it's about to get really cold, right? And so they said, all right, we need to really come up with something. How can we transition from saying warming into something that's cold and then people not call us stupid? We're going to look stupid. So they call Frank Luntz, and they get him involved. And they say, look, what do we do? And they pay the guy. And this is the liberals paying the guy who a lot of conservatives believe that he's a conservative. I'm like, he's not on anybody's side. He's just out to make some money. And it's working. All he had to do was say, well, don't call it global warming anymore. Start calling it climate change. It sounds the same when you say it that way, and if you start now, you'll have said it so many times they won't notice, and so they'll just accept that it's climate change. And they did. Everybody did. Everybody in America just about, not everybody, but you know what I'm saying, the people who already believed global warming is real, they jumped right in and started using that terminology instead. And now it's getting really crazy cold, it's not a problem.
You brought up a good point. If you do look at statistics sort of dig a little deeper into where we are in the
chronological geo timeline of weather patterns, we're almost we're definitely due for a big cool down, if not even a mini ice age, in northern parts of North America and Europe. And the point you make about the media sort of in just the spin doctors, they get taught what to say.
Not taught. He came up with that. They paid him to come up with something to save their butts, because they had scientists going, it's going to get really cold. What do we do?
Okay,
we've been
calling
this global warming. And so he was the guy they brought on board to teach the media what to say and how to frame everything, transition into climate change from global warming because it's going to get cold. How do we get people to still believe it's their fault when we've been telling them this whole time, it's going to get really warm, and it doesn't, and it gets really cold? How do you keep convincing them it's their fault when it went the other way? You don't global warm so much that you go out through the other side and now it's cold. That's not how it works. You know what I mean? So they had to come up with something.
I do.
And
now
that's the guy.
Here's the question. Do you think that we're simply in a natural climate cycle? Or do you think that humans contribute or speed up or alter this cycle, and that's what we're experiencing now?
I don't think this has to do with humans as much as it probably does more solar than anything. But, I mean, the sun affects us way more than anything else. The other planets change along with ours. Similarly, not exactly, but when it comes to what's happening right now, if anything, I don't know, I think we're due for a polar shift. If we're due for a polar shift, I partly wonder, well, will that change, the position of Earth? Will we tilt a little bit? Will our rotation, the axis be a little bit off, or will it, I don't know. You know, there's all kinds of other factors to think about that nobody talks about, and they just focus on, No, it's carbon emissions. It's carbon emissions. Yeah, we get it. You want to put carbon taxes in the system. You get enough taxes. There's enough taxes, dude. Our taxes go directly to pay the national debt, and it doesn't even dent them. It's like trying to shoot a aircraft carrier with a 22, you know? It doesn't do anything. Stop it.
Okay.
Have you ever
jump in now.
Glenn, welcome, brother.
Yes.
Let me say one thing first, and it's going to be quick, and it may lead you in. There's a guy goes by the name Suspicious Observer. He's on YouTube. He's my go-to weather guy. He talks a ton about the sun and the effect on the atmosphere. And he prescribes to a large part of, I guess, what is called the electric universe theory, or what is the other? There's another little name they have for it. But it's basically the electric universe. And that now said, Glenn, thoughts on the conversation?
Well, I agree that there's a lot of other factors besides what man does, but if you want to talk about how solar activity affects the Earth, then I think you have to consider what man is doing to the atmosphere. I mean, it's not just that the sun is beating through it and suddenly it's getting weak. It's from the inside out as well, but where I live, east of the Rockies in Canada, the first real big change in the weather patterns I can remember was Mount St. Helens. Things changed after that, and they've never been, they're never been like they were before. So, you know, it's natural things. It's stuff man does. I mean, living where I do, I've been up to Fort McMurray. I spent years up there. When you have a plant that's 25 kilometers from town, and you can smell it everywhere in town. And there's a yellow tinge to the sky all around you. You just can't keep doing this and increasing it at a stupid rate and not expect it to have some sort of effect on the environment. I mean,
well, I'm not saying that that pollution itself doesn't have an effect on the environment. That's never what I've ever tried to come off saying. And on top of that, I would add that when it comes to pollution and stuff, on my side in America, it seems ridiculous to me as we're almost no longer an industrial nation. They moved everything. So to be like, it's your fault, America, it's like, really? Because all our shit's over in China now. So, and if you look at China, you can't even see like 5 feet in front of you because of the smog. If anyone is to be focused on, I mean, come on.
I agree with that.
It's fog in China.
I agree with that. And India.
Right.
I mean, it's super bad there too. But the thing is, yeah, there's a lot of the industrial base is gone in the U.S.
Yeah.
But look at the problem they had on the Great Lakes with acid rain 20 years ago. And they did figure it out. It was the steel belt. It was the rust belt. And they dealt with it, and acid rain has pretty much disappeared now.
Right.
But the thing about the states, I mean, look at West Virginia. There ain't many big industrial outfits left, but the ones that are left,
DuPont.
They have this thing. Well, yeah, they have this thing called risk management.
You mean pay the fines.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like an electric bill to them. Oh, we got to pay our yearly fine so that we can keep dumping our crap into the Ohio River. Yeah.
Oh, they have a big line item in the budget for fines, and they can track them as easily as they do the average increase in the cost of living. Here's my take on this thing. The sun will do what it's going to do regardless of what we do.
Right.
If you separate out best you can, isolate sort of the cosmic effects that are going on Earth and maybe driving the climate into a colder cycle, which from what I understand would not be unnatural, would just sort of be going along with the weather patterns that have been occurring on Earth for billions of years or hundreds of millions at any rate. I think the human factor is that what we do is we enter variables into this equation that are very hard to calculate for, and there have been certain events in early industrial and post-industrial modern civilization that I think sort of speed up or tilt the input of these variables. So an example would be the Trinity test when they exploded a nuclear munition 200 miles above the Earth, which is in our ionosphere. And another one that's in all of our consciousness right now is Fukushima.
Could I say something real quick?
Go ahead. Sorry.
So rebels have a midlife crisis, and saying maybe what you do is exterminate any question. Just destroy it all. Yeah, get awful. You know you want to. And then call in the show, please. I would appreciate it.
Yo, I'm throwing up a we pay for a new mic for Dalek.
Right? There you go, dude. Start a fucking Kickstarter.
Nah, no bullshit, Dalek. I'm going to fucking Western Union you money tomorrow to get a mic for tomorrow's show.
What does he use? Is he using a phone or?
I don't know.
Hey,
don't know,
hold up. Dude, Porno Puppy just put up a Snopes link. Screw Snopes, dude. Snopes is for amateurs. You know, Snopes is run by just husband and wife operation.
Yeah, Alec uses a crack pipe for a microphone. So Pup just put up a Snopes link.
Yes,
Pup is no amateur, one of the smartest guys I know on Twitter. Snopes, it is a publication that is produced for a particular market, so you always have to take, anything that's put into a publication that relies on advertising with a little bit of a grain of salt. But Pup, if you want to call in, two of the smarter guys on Twitter here, this would be a great conversation. Pup, don't call in. And sorry to interrupt what was being said, but I just wanted to comment on that real quick.
I called them out once on what was it? It was that picture of the picture of the gal that died at both the Boston bombing and at
Sandy Hook.
Sandy Hook. You know what I'm talking about? And
yep.
Snopes took it as this is impossible. Obviously, she couldn't have died at both places, and blah 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 blah. So this conspiracy theory is easily bunked. And I'm like, no Snopes, bad Snopes. That's not what people are saying. People are saying this is an actress or this is a stand-in, this is not real, it's fake. You're totally missing the point, Snopes. Bad Snopes. You don't even understand what people are claiming that this is.
Okay, well, that's
just obviously this person isn't dead.
So I could jump to Sandy Hook right now, but let's stick on the on this climate and this and sort of
yeah, I didn't mean to sidetrack you. We're not on sidetrack, so
it's not good. Glenn, go ahead. You were saying something before I interrupted.
Trinity. You mentioned Trinity. There's been a lot of research that nobody wants to talk about that's been classified by the Canadian government that two-thirds of the spectacular aurora borealis that we have up here was caused by Trinity. You know? And I would agree. I don't see where these guys who are supposed to be nuclear physicists and some of the brightest minds on the planet, we have this layer of our atmosphere that's basically charged, so why don't we detonate a nuclear device in there? Like, I don't understand where these guys come up with these fucking crackpot ideas, and they get to do them. Like, that's just insane. That's like saying, I've got this cord that's live with no end on it. Let's put it in this bucket of water. What do you think will happen? You know, it's ridiculous. I mean, it may have been very, very primitive research into things like HARP that they did that. But, I mean, the risk that the planet is put at over individual conceptual experiments is insane. You know,
yeah.
The
Trinity example is particularly troubling because there was a myriad of possibilities that could have gone wrong. And in fact, after Trinity was exploded, it did cause a partial nuclei chain reaction that had it continued would have been unstoppable, and, you know,
that's one of those weird questions, like what happens if you touch dark matter or antimatter or something, like, you know. But the fact of the matter is it knocked out half of the highest priced satellites that we had floating around up there at the time. And if a if our favorite
take a shot first, take another shot.
If our favorite, okay, no tinfoil, I won't even go there. but Trinity is what woke up the aliens, if you believe in them. I had to put it out there. I don't really believe that, but. It's funny.
Why were they? Wait, they were asleep? I thought Americans were asleep.
No, Americans are asleep. I've read at least well worded and clever theories that's when extraterrestrial eyes were pointed our way in any significant number for the first time was after we blew up. A thermonuclear device 200 miles above our planet in the ionosphere. And we all know that the ionosphere is essentially a capacitor? No, the ionosphere basically allows different types of energy to travel within it. What is that called in electronics? It's a capacitator or a... Glenn, you...
Well, it has the ability to do different functions. I mean, it depends if it's getting direct energy from the sun or, you know, like it's a conductor, first of all. And
right, that's what I was looking for, a conductor.
Yeah, I mean, it can behave as a capacitor. It can also behave as an inductor. So I think one of the biggest things that we can live on this planet compared to anywhere else is because when the sun beats on the Earth, it's not like a fucking laser beam like it is everywhere else. It gets dispersed, and that's what it does. You know, it absorbs and spreads it around. Like even in the summertime, when North America is tilted towards the Earth, even when it's pitch black out, it's not freezing. That's because all that energy from the sun goes around the planet, you know, and that's one of the major things that the upper atmosphere does. It insulates, it keeps heat in, it spreads the heat out over the planet, and yeah, sooner or later, I imagine you keep fucking with that, you're going to end up with some cracks or some holes or whatever. Now, if there's any extraterrestrials out there that were alerted to us by Trinity, I imagine they just said, "Yo, look at these fucking idiots! Look what they're doing!"
Right. Yeah,
like I'm convinced that somewhere out there in the solar system where we can't see, there's like flashing yellow lights. There's beacons. Stay away from the third rock. Those guys are fucking nuts.
Yeah, yeah. I'm with you, dude.
Don't stop there or whatever. Just keep going.
Yeah.
That's like, you know, the sort of the humorous fantasy I have is the exact same words you just said, like, man, if there are aliens, they must have looked down and been like, dumb, stupid motherfuckers just blew up, just cracked an atom in their ionosphere. And HARP, which you mentioned earlier, operates in the ionosphere. That's where the condensed energy from HARP is that then transferred up into the ionosphere, and that's where it can kind of do all its work. Interesting stuff, really interesting stuff. The holes, the cracks, I think they're starting to show. You know, besides just the ozone, which we've been hearing about our whole lives. I remember hearing about the ozone when I was 7 or 8, but I think there is, HARP has been silent. I had read that. I didn't know that. Thanks, Pop.
But there's a lot more than one.
Oh,
I mean, the one in Alaska they shut down, but it's rather a coincidence that they decided to shut down the Alaska HARP after Fukushima. Meanwhile, the ones everywhere else in the world are still operating. So, you know, I mean, you release this much radiation into the atmosphere, it's got to affect things. And if it does, if they know, they're sure as fuck not going to tell us.
Yeah.
Right.
100%. Hey, Dalek, is Rev on the line?
Yes, he is.
Hey,
what about, do you have any numbers from 702, dude, that are on there?
Not yet, Dalek. But I will definitely look.
Okay.
And if anybody's listening and you got hung up on in the first 5 or 6 minutes of the show, I was just flailing on the board and just was pressing buttons. So it was of no offense. Call back in.
All right. Sorry about everything else. It's just like a really bad technical difficulties score. It was really absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. Is that your system or BTR?
I think it's my system. What I said about Wi-Fi and stuff, I mean, like, I need some new Wi-Fi or something. Because this is bullshit.
You need a new modem, like a higher baud modem or a better, you know, the other thing. There's the modem and then there's the tower.
Router?
Router.
Yeah, the router. So you need a new...
You know what? I just...
So, you tell
I don't
me
think
you
I need a modem or a router. I think I need both.
You tell me what you need. We'll get it worked out. Rebel! Is Rebel on this line?
Yes, hello. Is this the Candy Crush hotline?
This is Candy Crush hotline. How long have you been playing, sir?
Jesus Christ. This fucking level 76 has burned through about $678 of my bank account. I can't get past it. I'm almost certain that you guys made it nearly impossible to steal everyone's money by getting everyone stuck on level 76. This is fucking horseshit. I blame the Jews. I blame the niggers. I blame the Spicks. This is bullshit. Jews run this company that made this fucking game. I'm pissed, and I'm not staying quiet anymore. I want past 76, niggers.
Oh, yeah. Rebel.
Fuck
yeah. Level 76 seems to be a doozer, huh?
Yeah, I even Googled it, and they're like, you got to do this, that, and the other thing. And I'm like, fuck, I've been doing that. It ain't
that's
fucking
the level
working.
Where that's the level where the Jews were like, that's where we'll make our money. Level 76, baby.
Exactly. It's fucking horseshit.
Who could do some quick numerology and figure out what sort of
significance?
Talmudic significance that number has, 76. Let's see. 7 plus 6 divided. I'm just kidding.
Don't
Rebel,
think about it. Don't use a calculator. Don't think too far into it. The guy that made the game's a fucking Jew, and what he did was he looked through all his Jew gold and he goes, I have 76 pieces of Jew gold, and I've got no more than that. So no one shall make it past the number 76. That's how 76 came about. It's fucking bullshit.
Could it be a snub to the American signing of the Declaration of Independence?
It could be.
Dude. That's 1776. Exactly,
I think it's the Jew
it's
gold
the,
thing.
It's the Rothschild stumbling.
Well,
their
the
nose.
Jews don't like independence. Stomach. They don't like that. They like control through banking, right? Right.
The money counters, man.
Immediately after, they were all about making a state a federal bank. That's what they wanted. Immediately.
Rebel, is this joke gonna hurt my chances for being the mayor of Boca Raton? That's what I want to know.
Probably. Chances are, if I ever decide to retire and become a radio host, all of my radio shows will come back to haunt me in about 22 years.
Exactly.
Luckily, you have people in the stable who can wipe the internet.
There you go. Everyone, they're gonna wanna they're gonna hire me. They're gonna be like, you do an excellent radio voice. We want you on Fox News Radio. We want you to do a fantastic radio show on the president, who at that point will be probably I would have to guess Justin Timberlake. And they're gonna be like, you can do it. We have faith in you. We're gonna give you $50 million a year. And then someone's going to walk in the room and be like, we need to have a meeting. And then they're going to play the Roseanne episode. And then they're going to fire me. I'm going to be done.
No, dude. Here's what you do. Here's what you do. If you have the president on as your guest, then you do America a favor. And you say, hey, Mr. President, would you mind killing yourself on national radio? For 107.5 Cool Radio, Cool Rock 103.5787. I don't even know the number of my radio station.
You know what it's going to be? It's going to be like 22 years from now. Justin Timberlake is going to be the president. He's going to pull a Reagan. He's going to be big and famous, and he's going to become the president. And this is what's going to happen. I'm going to have him on my radio show. I'm going to ask him all these hard questions, hard hitting. Everyone's going to love it. And then before I let him go, I'll be like, Mr. President, before I let you go, I've got one of your biggest fans here. Caller, welcome, Danny Dantalian. And we're going to relive all over again 22 years from now. You wait.
Nice. Well, why don't we just all vote for Vermin Supreme, dude?
Hmm? There you go.
Go all out.
JT will pull out the dick in the box, and it's all over.
Yeah, exactly.
Why would you not vote for the dick in the box?
While I've got everyone on the radio listening to my voice and everyone that's in the chat room, I want you to do yourself a favor. Go to YouTube and look up the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon.
Hold on.
There's a clip that's fucking hilarious that they played on there.
Then he must not be the star of the clip because he ain't fucking funny.
He's not the star of the clip. If you go to YouTube, just type in Brian Williams, Rapper Delight. It's probably the funniest thing I've ever seen. I watched it about 9 times today. Do that. You will watch it 2 or 3 times, then you'll tweet at me and you're like, that's the funniest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. You're the best thing to ever happen to Twitter, CNY Rebel. You are my master. I want to suck your dick even if I'm a man. That's what you're saying.
I feel
that's
like you're patronizing us.
That's how good this video is.
Yeah. Rebel is a professional patronizer, but the fact of the matter is a huge heart. So let him patronize you because it's good for you. But
right.
And also what Rebel's done is brought together some people who have completely divergent views and approaches to some of the issues we face, and both on a day-to-day level and a larger level, and given us a platform to express those thoughts, and like tomorrow night to fucking give something back. And I know there's a fine line between throwing up a wee pay when you're out of fucking weed or something.
Jackal.
But, yeah, that's what I was thinking of, But there's also a time where that shit is appropriate and people need help. And, deciphering between the two is difficult. And you basically have to just go with your heart. I think it's a good thing, and I'm going to leave it at that. Pup took the words right out of my mouth. Give it all back. Pay that shit forward.
Okay. Out of curiosity, who should I give the $20 gift card from Walmart? Out of curiosity, just give me the mailing address, and I'll put it right over there.
Burn it. That's what you ought to do, is burn it. Fuck Walmart.
No, they sell nitrous at Walmart.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Burn that shit. Don't support child labor. What the fuck, dude?
Walmart is horrid, dude. I've barely ever been in there. But Dalek, this is what I think we should do with that. Have you ever seen that pay with a tweet thing? Rebel or Glenn?
Name? No. No.
Basically what it
is. You have Walmarts in Canada?
Are you kidding? There's Walmarts on the fucking moon.
Walmarts are the best places ever. They have everything you want for cheap, and they treat their employees well, and they pay them well, and they get to wear blue uniforms. I want to work at Walmart. That's how cool.
You know what I hear? You know what I hear about Walmart? I hear that people tell me. They tell me. I don't know if this is true. It could be a myth. It could be like the leprechaun. But I hear that if you burn a Walmart to the ground, they'll build another one tomorrow. So, in other words, what I'm saying is endless entertainment day after day. Just burn Walmarts down day after day, dude. It's an arsonist paradise.
They will just
keep rebuilding it.
They did that on South Park. They had a Walmart episode on South Park, and it was really,
yeah,
really
dude.
Funny. It was really good.
The heart of Walmart. Yeah, I remember.
That was a great episode of South Park.
And I was there too.
I want everyone to go look on my Twitter. I just posted that video, that YouTube video. You need to go there. You need to listen to it.
Me there.
I am going to watch it. And also, Rebel, what I need is an update. Who is winning the Nicolas Cage Photoshop extravaganza?
Go to my
slideshow.
Yeah, his.
I saw it. It's fucking so rope. So funny.
He's got.
That's Lady Zohar that made them. Lady Zohar made them for me for the slideshow for the show tomorrow. Those are awesome.
Ah, terrific! That's awesome. And
he's going all out. I usually just steal them from Google.
What time is the show tomorrow?
What time are we kicking off? Is Rage kicking off at what time?
Rage Radio will be from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, followed by Anti-Crisis and Dalek Third Rail Radio from 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern, followed by 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. Revolution Radio featuring Canadian Glenn. He will cover the Olympics and have a fundraiser for Anon Chimp.
Nice. I don't know which one of those I'll start at. I'm working tomorrow, starting at 6 p.m., so we'll see.
Tomorrow,
we shall see.
Getting on the plane, and I'm going from Vermont, where it is, it's actually warm right now, but it's fucking, you know, it's hell out there. It's slushy. There's like 2 feet of wet snow on the ground. It's 33 degrees. I'm going to Miami. Fucking, I'm going to put my big, fat gold robe on that Danny sent me. I'm going to put my Bermuda shorts on. I'm going to grab an 8-ball and a fucking Corona, and I'm going to lamp, and then I'm going to be on the radio.
I'll get in turn.
Okay.
Nice, dude. Hell yeah.
And that's my plan. And the funny, Rebel and I were talking earlier in the week, and this is shoot the shit radio, folks, so this is what we do. I had actually totally forgotten that we were going to, that I was on, going to Florida this week. I was kind of like, oh man, I'm going to Florida. And, then work ended today, all well, and now I am on vacation and stuff. So that's my report. Legion Ops.
We got about 5 minutes.
I'm not catching any of that, dude.
Dalek is going straight fucking Patriot Greg. I feel like I'm that Domino's commercial where the guy's like, am I in a tunnel? No. Are you in a tunnel?
Dude, I swear, Dalek, I'm sending you I'm sending you a server tomorrow. I'm sending you Google.
I'm telling you, dude, start a Kickstarter for him.
Well,
dude,
I mean,
for
the
record,
guy,
Dalek.
The guy can't even use his fucking telephone because he's got his dial-up going. He's only using 42 of his 56K modem. I mean, come on, man. You got to do better than this. I mean, at least Canadian Glenn is using whatchamacallit. What's that thing called you plug into your thing there? What were you using there for?
I was using Magic Jack. No, I was using Magic Jack. It's fucking garbage. Fucking garbage.
Magic
well, I'm
Jack.
Not buying one of those, thank God.
The USB
no.
port. The USB
yeah, but
plus.
I'm done with that now, and I think things have been a lot better since I got rid of that piece of shit.
Yeah,
you,
right.
haven't Gregged at all tonight, so.
I have a feeling Glenn is going to do fantastic tomorrow with no audio problems. I'm going to be in the background. I probably won't even come on the show. I'm just going to stick in the background if he needs me. But I know there's only a couple minutes left here, but I want to let everyone know. Glenn has been training for this episode of Revolution Radio for 2 months. He has been doing jaw exercises. He has been staying up late to watch the Olympics just to get into the flow of being wide awake from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m., which is Revolution Radio tomorrow night with Canadian Glenn. And he is ready to go. I mean, he is ready to go. He's ready to handle any situation. He's ready to ban Vince in the Bay. He's just ready to go.
Hey, if anybody doesn't know, Glenn is sidetracked with Blue Vino. He is the producer of that show. He's the guy in the booth during the whole show. Every show. Glenn in the booth, that's him.
Glenn,
yeah.
Glenn is Robin Quivers. That's who Glenn is. Glenn is a big black lady with a big-ass fucking haircut. My heart goes out to Glenn. I love Canadian Glenn. He's going to do a fantastic job. I can't wait to hear it tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah,
so
definitely one of the smartest. Is on my little corner of the internet. Tomorrow's going to be awesome.
Robin
and,
fucking
and
Quivers?
Yes, Robin fucking Quivers. You are the Robin. You're the Robin Quivers of my heart.
Okay, so I'm like NC then in some way.
Yes, you are African American in some way.
Okay,
Glenn, I hope that you put on your resume that you produce our show because that's what you do, right?
Virtually.
No, you guys didn't right. go to an hour show, Vito. You're
I don't have any money. I am a poor person. Do you understand? I'm a poor person. I live below the poverty line. I tried to apply for Obamacare to check out some fucking lumps I have, or had. I don't have them anymore. Thankfully, I think they were just cysts and they went away. But, like, I was like, fuck, I better sign up for Obamacare. I didn't want to do it. But I did. And you know what they told me? You don't qualify. You have to get state aid. You have to get Medicaid. And I was like, well, son of a bitch, even if I wanted to pay for my own insurance, they won't allow me.
Hold on. There's only 25 seconds left in the show. We are going to go into a little bit of overtime. If you're listening to the show right now, call in 646-929-1480. All the fun happens in overtime. 646-929-1480. You got 10 seconds. Go. Run to your phone. Run to your Skype. 646-929-1480. And you're fucked.
And that is why I revel the boss, man. That was awesome, dude.
That's good, dude.
That was fun. All the Hopefully. Fun does happen overtime, too. I've heard some funny-ass shit in overtime, man.
That's where the fun stuff happens, because people kind of lighten up a little bit. They know not a lot of people are listening. They don't realize that they're being recorded for the archive, so they really open up. But I do think Glenn should put on his resume that, even though Glenn is from Canada and we shouldn't hold it against them because they have a pretty good hockey team, he should put on his resume that 1 foot of him is African American, and it's in his D. Don't worry.
I wish it was that 1 foot.
You whip that thing around, like a helicopter. You fucking fly all around town, waving at bitches. What's up?
I wish that was the 1 foot of me that's black. That would be all right.
Instead, he got
the nose. The third foot?
Well, hey, you guys, scientifically speaking, the average length of a male is about 6 inches, 5 to 6. That's the average.
Yeah.
And then the average depth of a white female is 5 to 6.
Funny
so,
how that works, huh?
It is. And the average length of a black male is like 8 to 9. The average depth of a black female is 8 to 9. So here's the answer to all of that shit. If there's a chick and that's what, and she's white and that's what she's into, that means, yeah, you're a whore. Because if you're deeper than the average, then, like, either you're, you know, oh, you're one of those, like, freaks of nature. You've got way deeper than average. Or, like, yeah, you fuck around too much. You've worn the shit out. The warranty is run out. Sorry. No refunds. This is over.
Like shaking a stick in a trash can.
That happens too. There's like white women that are like, no, I'm not that loose. I'm pretty tight. You know, I'm 35. Then next thing you know, they make a video and they're popping a sofa out of their crotch. You're like, well, you're wrong. But I will tell you this. There are only two things related to a black person that are a foot long. The black person's dick and the food stamp receipt after they go to the grocery store. Those are the only things that are 1 foot long.
Any more, though, dude, like grocery receipts are long. Can you get a short grocery receipt?
No. They print off, like, fucking, you know, take this quiz and win a gift card, and then
is
your receipt and your gift receipt and your customer receipt and a duplicate of the customer receipt and then a duplicate of the duplicate of the duplicate just in case you lose the duplicate and the duplicate. And it's insane. And they give it to you, and you're like, well, I got my trees and a small pine tree. Thank you.
By the way, did you know you earned points today? Here's how many points you earned. Did you know you could buy gasoline outside with these points? Yeah, I kind of knew that.
I wear a large Day-Glow orange button on my shirt when I go to the grocery store that says, I'm not playing the Rachel Ray game. I'm not taking any quizzes. Fuck off. And
nice.
It's incredibly effective. Incredibly.
Really?
I like going to the candy section and stealing all the samples.
We don't have that around here. Where the hell do you live that you have that shit?
I have a grocery store here that they have a big wall of, like, candy, and they have flaps on them, and you can dig into the candy, like any candy you can think of. You dig into the candy with a little shovel thing, and you fill a bag, and then you weigh it, and you get charged by the whatever, the candy. But you can just flip it up and try them, and it says right there, taste test them if you want. So, you know, I've never had Skittles in my life. So I'm like, all right, I'll try a Skittle. This is pretty good. I'm going to seriously think about buying one of these. Oh, look, a Hershey Kiss. You know, I move my way down the line. Next thing you know, I got a sour stomach, and I'm like, all right, I'm just going to get my bread and get out of here.
Yeah.
we have co-ops in Vermont, and they have, like, everything you could possibly imagine in bulk food bins. And you can go in there and have a fucking Thanksgiving meal.
You mean to tell me you have co-ops in a nation that's not communist or socialist? I don't believe it.
Vermont is both communist and socialist.
I don't believe it.
The entire United States has a lot of socialist things all over the fucking place. Why doesn't everybody just realize this?
I know. That's my point.
Politically, any isms, any schism, Bob said it a long time ago, if it's on paper, you know what, we've fucked it up. So we practice some amalgamation of, mostly corporate plutocracy, a nice heaping portion of socialism, some good old-fashioned fascism, and maybe a dash of free market enterprise and a skosh.
No, I wouldn't go that far. I wouldn't even dash free market.
Right.
Because you can't say free if it isn't free. You cannot. It's like saying, well, this
Hold
is kind of true.
Elucidate. Like, what do you mean free as in?
You can't,
like,
free market. You can't say something's a free market if it's regulated. You can't.
Right, okay.
It's just impossible. It doesn't make sense. We've had corporate law since day one. We've had corporate law since the very first day. They were thinking, well, all right, you can have corporations, but we need to watch them like a hawk. I'm like, why have a corporation? All it does is absolve the owners and the people who run the place of any responsibility. They should feel the pain firsthand if they fuck up. That's their job, is to be like, holy shit, we fucked up, and we're getting sued. We wouldn't have billionaires if there was no such thing as corporations, because they would have all lawsuits against them, and they would be like, son of a bitch, I am losing a ton of money on these lawsuits from, I can't cut corners. I can't cut corners. If I cut corners, I'm going to get sued. But that's not how it is. If you have a corporation, it's like, well, the business gets sued. It doesn't matter. You put it in the bills.
That's
I have no problem with people going out and, you know, hitting the timing and the prevalent quantum wave of the moment and making a ton of money. That's free market enterprise. I support that. What I don't support is what you're getting at is the double standard and one set of regulations and rules that's written for the corporation once it becomes powerful enough to influence politics, you know, from a small scale like town, municipal, city, all the way up to world. You know, that's sort of when they get the insulation of the corporate name. But the United States was set up as a corporate, as a corporation.
True. Yeah, I've never said that it was a good idea from the start. It's the whole thing has been fucked from day one.
The reason for that is because they needed a loan from France to fight the English. So they had no fucking choice.
And if even you go back, further, the first charter that was written for Jamestown, that's a corporate document, you know. And then you go up a little bit, 100 years, 120 years to the Pilgrims and Plymouth Rock and all that shit. Same thing.
They didn't do so bad. The Pilgrims didn't do so bad. I mean, when it comes to peace, if you're looking for peace, if you're looking for harmony, I think the best example is the very first Pilgrims, because the very first Pilgrims landed, they had a hard time, half of them died. The Native Americans were like, look, we understand you're not a threat because you're dying like flies.
You're too, you know? Right.
And so they're like, we're going to help you out. And so they adopted each other's lifestyles together, no questions asked. When I heard about this history, I was like, why don't they teach this shit in school? Because this is amazing that, Pilgrims could come here and just adopt their way of life. Indians would adopt the other's way of life a little bit, both of them just however it worked, and they worked it together. And they did fine. It wasn't until they all grew and had bigger communities. Once it got really big, that's when people got paranoid because Indians had guns.
We've touched on this before in one of our conversations. And I think, the two of the biggest reasons why there was this moment of harmony between two very different people was a lot of the people who came over, on the Plymouth Rock mission were Quakers, or the first, version one beta of Protestants, right? Quakers, they talked the talk and they walked the walk. I wouldn't want to be a Quaker.
Or a Shaker.
No, but you know what? They do speak of harmony within your environment and harmony with neighbors and keeping problems within your own community, within your own construct. And obviously the central sort of mantra of Quakerism is pacifism. And I think that in some odd way, the Quaker philosophy
if you reduce it, isn't that different than the naturalist philosophy that Native Americans were practicing and do still practice for a great part. And so, and the second part of this equation would be that the time it took from news to get from Plymouth Rock back to the old world saying, yo, I think we got a foothold, we might be able to make some money here, that it, there was a period that took a while, you know, like 5 years. Mm. And if you look
but,
at that history.
But hearing that, that's where the fascists were like, well, you mean we can be fascists over there? Great.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, 100%. You know, once that scout came back, you know, the scout that the Crown sent with the Quakers and the Shakers and the Pinta and the Punta and the boats and all that, like, you know, once that scout was like, yo, these Quakers, they're on to something. They can do this shit. It's not going to be like Jamestown. They're not going to be eating each other in 3 months. I'm going back, and I'm giving the fucking stock report that this market is open, it is exploitable, and let's go. Let's do it. And if when the next expedition came back, that's when genocide occurred. That's when full-on fucking imperialistic invasion occurred.
This country's nothing to be proud of. It's not.
I like, right off the bat, I so agree with you, but nothing, no country is worth being proud of.
No, they're not. They all have a state. They all have a state, so...
Well, you know what? You know why that is? Is because people run them. That's why.
Yeah.
It's people. It's people, man. I mean,
it's
you
unethical.
Go back to... Yeah,
it's
you
not,
go back to the...
It's
go
not,
back to the...
You assign some sort of construct to the people that they start fucking up.
No. No, you go back to the founding fathers, Thomas Paine. Thomas Paine's responsible for the way the United States developed. He was the one who pushed to make it a corporation to get the loan from France and
no
from
shit.
Holland. To, you know, I mean, some of these guys that are seen as great founding fathers, they're the ones who pissed in the pot from day one.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you've got guys like John Adams and Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin who, you know, they had principles, but they could compromise. They could go with the flow. They could change their minds. Other guys like Paine, if they didn't get what they wanted, they just fucking blackmailed everybody. You know?
I mean,
like New York State and Pennsylvania State just about prevented the creation of the United States.
Yeah.
Hey, Glenn.
Especially William Penn.
Glenn, did you ever see the HBO series about John Adams?
Yes, I bought it.
What did you think of that?
I thought it was very good. I thought it was very
good.
I did too. Yep.
It kind of made me sad because of all of the founding fathers, he seemed to be the one that was the most resentful of everything they did. He seemed in the series, at least. I don't know if it's true. I don't know how accurate it is, but it seemed to me that John Adams was the one who went into it the most reluctantly to say, like, fuck, this is just not the right way to do this. I'll do it, but fucking this is wrong. This is not right.
Before I go smoke my cigarette, I just got to say this. If our founding fathers would have had Jewish lawyers, none of this shit would have happened.
Fuck off.
I will be right back. I'm going to smoke.
The country wouldn't have happened. Fuck.
No. I mean, it wouldn't have, but I don't know. I don't know. History is one of those funny things.
Like, throughout
like,
history, like, we can rattle them off like Thomas Paine. People who Derek Lostutter, KY Anonymous, that guy, who see a situation, you know, worm tongue, who see a situation, they see an angle, and they
are manipulators and subversives by nature, and if they're good at that type of thing, they can, one individually can certainly swing the sort of the projected path of something into right back into itself and into a dark direction. The thing about, like, this country is nothing to be proud of, like, I mean, frankly, that's my opinion, right? Like, that, being a patriot and all that shit, man, it's ridiculous to me. It's absolutely asinine to go fight for your country, asinine.
Yeah.
Yet I understand the camaraderie between the soldiers when they're in the battle. Right, I can empathize with that, but I can't empathize with the people who send them the young men and women to fight and die. So,
well, I always wonder what would happen if our youth would quit signing up. What if they just stopped and they said, "No, morally, I don't agree with anything our military is doing." Period, and they just quit. And never signed up again. What would they do?
It would collapse. And what you just said is the key. If anybody ever wants to get serious about change and transition or revolution in this country, turn your fucking back.
You do know that historically speaking, if you go throughout history, the only thing that actually causes change, the only thing, it's not voting. It's not protesting. The only thing that has ever historically caused change is civil disobedience, which, Glenn, I know you've seen Dax. I know you've seen Scott. He'll go on his tirades where one day he'll have a wild hair up his ass, and all he'll do all day is fucking tweet the hashtag civil disobedience.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's the only way. You have to disobey.
It's true. I mean, look at Gandhi. That's a perfect example.
Exactly.
Hashtag Canadians did 9/11. That's what I'm talking about. I'm going to tweet that right now.
Glenn, tomorrow night I have, on your show, I have a little surprise for Rebel. I can't say I went out and bought it or anything. I had a couple of them in the closet, so I'll kick you a DM on what it is, but save 5 minutes to do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not a problem.
I could do it on my show, actually, because that would be afterwards, so that would be kind of the end. But I have a couple awesome signed throwback jerseys. And Rebel, you get to take your pick. I wish I had a fucking Knickerbocker one, but I don't.
Someone was asking about our next album. I don't remember who it was. Someone was asking about the next album.
Dalek and I were. Yeah.
Well, it's pretty much done. The only thing we were working on was the cover. We had some ideas and shit, and then... Surprisingly, Scott came up with the cover, and I showed it to my wife, and she was like, "Which she's like our third, she's our what do you call it, non-partial type of person who's
she,
outside."
Is she hot?
Yeah.
She's your Yoko Ono. She's Yoko.
Dude, Yoko's not hot.
I'm sorry, but Yoko is not hot.
Within the band. Within the band, she's the Yoko.
The dynamic.
No, because she isn't going to break up the band either.
Nice.
Okay.
No, you don't have to worry about that. But like, so anyways, Scott took this thing and made like a fucking album cover, and I was actually like, "That's not bad, dude." So. He came up with an album cover. We had this really artistic idea, but we could never get it done because neither of us have a good camera that'll take high-def pictures. And a lot of the shit that I need to do needs to be high-def pictures. But So he did something, and I think we're going to go with that. So that was today. So that means, boom, album cover is done. I can put the stuff on Amazon for free. And as soon as that's done, I can get the UPC code. I can put the stuff and send it to Pandora, which is what I was waiting on. I wanted to get the stuff sent to Pandora so that they would, because we're not on Pandora. And to me, I'm thinking, well, I don't know about you guys, but I use Pandora. I love Pandora. Pandora is awesome. That's how I find music that I don't listen to. Because they're like, well, you like Tom Waits, you like Pink Floyd, you like this. Well, then you would like this too. And I'm like, thank you, because I have no idea where to find this shit. You know?
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah.
Since you and I talked last, I've listened to a lot of your music, man.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You guys are fucking really good, man.
Hey, we try really hard. It's not easy. It's not easy because I don't know if you knew this, but Scott lives in Vegas.
Yeah.
I live in Ohio.
Yep.
And we put this stuff together 2,000 miles apart. It's hard. It's fucking hard. But we do it.
I was going to say was if you keep working hard, you keep writing good music, and you keep on it and keep motivated, someday, just someday, you may be as good as the Black Messiah.
I know who that is.
Dude, the Black Messiah track with the backbeat, dude, that thing fucking pumps, man.
I don't even know what that is. What's the Black Messiah?
What? You don't know who the Black Messiah is?
No.
You must be the whitest person.
Hold on. To give you a reference material, our, like, between me and Scott, our favorite band is Pink Floyd. So start there and then be like, okay, so they like Pink Floyd. They stopped making albums in the 90s, and their best stuff was, like, in the 70s.
Well, if you love Pink Floyd, then Black Messiah is right up your alley. Pretty much the same thing.
Black Messiah is also...
I'm with Glenn. I'm kind of thinking like that. You're probably lying.
It's performance art, man. The kid is a genius, man. And I do. I keep up on him and Danny's shit that they put out on... they have I think it's their YouTube channel, but...
SoundCloud.
And on SoundCloud. And... The Black Messiah just leapt forward like Eon with this new track. And it is half performance art, but I tell you, it's pretty sharp as attack. And
well, musically, what would you say, what genre would you put it with, or genre?
Rap.
Train wreck. Yeah, rap.
Satire.
Rap?
It's satire.
If you don't know me... You obviously don't know that I hate rap.
But I think
some of his largest hits are entitled "Hitler Did Nothing Wrong" and "Versace 9/11."
I really don't care. Rap to me is, I cannot listen to it. Let me put it this way: do you have any pet peeves where like something happens and you're just like, "Fuck! I need to leave the room. I need to leave and go somewhere else." Because this is on my nerves. That's rap to me. And people are like, what's wrong with you? How come you hate this? And why are you like that? And I'm like, I can't explain it. I wish that I was the type of person I could be like, no, I get it. Like, for example, Scott will send me the rap battles where it'll be like, oh, this is kind of funny. It's Moses, or not Moses. It's like Mozart versus some other artist. And it's a rap battle, and it's supposed to be funny. I can't even listen to those.
So, like,
because
it
I'm like,
breaks, like the meter and just the rhythm just it grates you.
Well,
like,
I
cannot be in the same room with like reality TV.
Equate it to that because that to me is it's rape to music. It's raping music. You're taking computers and you bought shit because you're a lazy asshole, or you made it that way because it's not that hard. I could fucking make beats, and people make beats just to sell them. And I'm like, stop.
But if you're
just
doing
stop.
It, like,
why are you doing it? That's not art. That's not how art works. It'd be like if I made paintings almost complete, and I was like, whatever, you fucking finish it, and you pay me, and you fucking put the barn in there. I did a Bob Ross painting, but I didn't put the barn in there. You put the barn in there.
I'm gonna put
you know?
I'm gonna put some happy trees over here.
Only no nice voice sound that I want to hear so that I can relax while I listen to you talk about the happy barn. You know? I'm missing out. I don't want to hear that shit.
Unrepentant fan of the Black Messiah. I like anything that provokes people to talk about things.
You'll probably like the next album. There's a lot of songs on there that are,
I mean, like
they're esoteric.
I mean,
they're not as political as our first album. I mean, they are. There's political overtones, but they're more esoteric, spiritual type of things that are.
But like your music,
not political,
like, isn't even. It's like, you know, your music, you know, is a. I lost the analogy, but. They're not. It's like not even the same. It's not even. It's beyond a different genre. It's a different animal altogether. And I'll stop advocating for Black Messiah. But I'm with you on like there are certain things that, regardless of the spirit of them or the motive or the intention of them. Just the way your mind receives signals, it's like, oh my God, fuck that, I'm out.
Right.
And that doesn't
right.
totally exist. And I could, like I said, like, you know, my wife's like one of her only sort of Achilles heels is she likes reality TV. I cannot be in the same fucking room. I mean,
yeah.
I can hear that, you know, hear that shit, and it causes me anxiety, cognitive dissonance, and duress.
I got a question for the Blue Vino guys.
Vino.
Oh, Jesus
it's
Christ.
Italian. It's Italian. It's Vino is Italian for wine.
Oh.
And if you saw our logo, it's a wine glass.
I did see that. I like that.
There you go. You
the,
get it.
The question I have is, I'm on your website. I'm on the website, was it Reverb Nation or something like that?
Reverb Nation, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I see that you guys are, have some of your shows here, and it's telling me that I can buy tickets to your Aruba Hotel August 14th, 2009 show. My question is, if I buy those tickets, will you come here and replay that show for me?
Yeah, dude. Fucking, I'll hop my fucking time machine.
You're
and go
you're
back.
A fucking genius, man.
It sounds. It says they sound like Pink Floyd, you know, Sinatra, The Doors. See, I'm a Doors fan. I'm a big Doors fan. They're probably my favorite band. I'm a Jim Morrison
really?
Junkie. So
if you
I
haven't
I
heard
have
our music, you need to listen to it because
yeah,
my
Vito
voice
Rebel.
Is a low baritone. I don't know if you could tell from the phone. I'm using a telephone to call, like a landline. So it probably alters my voice quite a bit. But
I hope your music just come on, touches me all night long. I want to listen to it. I'm going to actually listen to some of your songs when the radio show's over. And
nice.
You might have a new fan on your hands.
Awesome. That's
I
fucking
think you
awesome.
Will. Yeah, man, your guys' stuff is great. They do some covers of Pink Floyd, which are incredible. We played one on our last Shoot the Shit show, and
nice, dude. Which one did you play? I missed it. I was working.
We played.
What did you play?
The Pink Floyd cover. Hold on, let me do this thing.
Oh, it was Little Black Book with my poems in it and that shit.
That
I don't remember the name of it.
Hold on.
Oh, Antichrist. While you're in Miami, just a word of advice, thinking about the Doors. If you're in Dade County, do not get on any type of stage and reveal your penis. If people don't like that, you'll get arrested.
Yeah.
It's bad. You'll have to go to Paris to kill yourself. It's bad. Bad news.
It's pretty bad. Yeah, I think it's pretty bad.
Good old Dade County, baby.
Who all is still on the phone? Is Glenn still here?
No, I think Glenn's back on Twitter.
Oh, damn. Well, I was going to say, like, with the second album, we had a special treat coming that Dax and I are working on, Scott. We were going to redo Suicide is Painless and offer it for free on Reverb Nation for anybody to download just for fun. Because we like that song. My mom asked me to redo it because it's my grandfather used to watch that show all the time, and so she loved that song and all that stuff. And I redid it a long time ago, and she heard it, and she was like, that's amazing. I love it. And so we're going to redo that one. We're working on it right now. And as soon as it's done, we're going to put it up there for free so people can just download it. Because I can't do it not for free, because then if I make money off of it, they'll sue me. But if I don't make any money, then it's legal. So I'm just going to put it up there for free so people can be like, oh, awesome. They redid Suicide is Painless. It's an awesome song.
Dude, like one of my new things that actually I picked up from Rebels, I'm at a point in my career, I'm a chef, cook, whatever you call it. I've got a shit job, right? It's 8 hours a day. I can do the job in 3.5 hours a day and do it really well. And I'm fortunate, right? So for the first time in my life, I have some extra time. And if you need help with any part of any musical process, whether it's just fucking writing little notes for your website or, you know, anything, dude, fucking hit me up.
Do you play an instrument or anything, or what do you do?
I do not.
I play the spoons.
The skin flute? Is that what you said?
Yes, I have a fleshlight on my keychain.
On my keychain?
On my keychain. That's a huge fucking keychain, dude.
Or a tiny one.
It's a gigantic keychain. You can fucking knock someone out with your keychain.
Yes, I could. It's very uncomfortable in my pocket.
Incredibly
important to me, and you know, I'm in a trade that runs the gamut, as does the music business, I guess, that runs the gamut from...
Dude, the music business has completely changed over the years. Business anymore. It's not a business. It's a fucking war. Music is a war right now.
I blame the Jews.
You should. Fucking should, dude. And you don't even know. You don't even fucking know. If you go back in the archives, dude, on Sidetracked, have you ever listened to our show?
Yes, a couple times.
Okay. If you go back in the archives, dude, there's one show where I don't remember what it's called, but you'll see it. It's near the beginning. It's like the fourth or fifth show. Dude, I lay out the paper trail how you can prove that the music industry is run by Rockefellers and Rothschilds. It's run by them. So the whole, like, well, Jews control, it's a joke, but it's funny, but it's fucking true, man. I'm sorry.
Well, that's
it's fucking true.
Thing about
They've ruined the entire thing.
We don't
it
need
sucks.
Conspiracy theories because
the
so
truth
much
is weirder than it, conspiracy theories.
Exactly. It really is, man. It's, you know, if you just fucking take a cursory look at the
who
history.
Who owns this company? Who owns that company? This person bought out that company and they own this and then, okay, so, and then, oh, so they bought it out and then a year later Bieber gets signed and then a year later this person gets signed. It's bullshit and you're like, oh my God.
I mean,
this is why music sucks.
It's unraveling. First thing. They flew planes into our buildings, and now they're taking over the music industry. This is not good, folks.
No,
Other way around, Brett. I think they.
I wish it was a joke. It's not.
So not. They took over the music the music business first, then Hollywood, and then they flew the planes into the towers.
Yeah, that's true. They took over Vegas is what they did.
No, dude, I lived in Vegas, and I can tell you who's ruining Vegas. I wish it were Jews, and it was that complicated.
It's not the Italians,
is it? Nope. No. After they got the mob out, dude, fucking my wife's, her brothers and sisters, which are like, she's adopted, so they're like 20 years older than her. And so, like, but their generation, dude, they're running Vegas. It's like a bunch of people that went to high school together. They don't know what the fuck they're doing, and they're running casinos. And so they only hire people they went to school with, and they're running the place into the ground to the point where people are like, man, you know, I really miss the mob. I miss the fucking mafia. And the reason is because, well, when the mafia ran the place, they treated you like family because they didn't make fucking money if you were shit and you felt like shit. If you felt like shit and you didn't want to be there, they were like, fuck, you know, our employees are pissed off. They don't want to be here. The mafia cared, dude. It's weird. It's weird to people. They're like, well, they did illegal shit and they killed people. And for me, I'm like, oh, I'm an anarchist and, you know, if you're killing someone, why are you killing them? You know, what the fuck happened? It's really kind of none of my business. But a lot of people that have been there for years are like, they didn't kill anybody that didn't deserve it. And I'm like, wow. So you've lived here that long that you're like, I know who they killed and they fucking deserved it. Yeah, that's exactly right.
And, you know, take that, what you just said about Vegas and scale it up a little bit. I think that's a pretty good summation of what's wrong across the board. We have irresponsible children, you know, running the country. These guys are not men. This is not my dad and I'm not putting my father on a pedestal by any means, but these kids are spoiled brats, dude. They're entitled. They don't. I mean, that woman who, you know, the tagline is, she said, tell the EU to go fuck themselves or they can fuck off, when she was talking about strategizing how to approach Ukraine. If you listen to that tape of what that woman said, which I did at like 5:15 in the morning, which is after watching what was going, you know, and I was a combination of incensed and just deflated, man. Because I'm like, if that fucking bitch is making policy decisions, we're fucked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everyone
well,
gets
I just
a trophy.
Saw a video of, I just saw a video of the guy, Minister of Poland, saying to somebody that if the people in Independence Square don't comply, if they don't agree to this new agreement between them, if they don't sign it, then they're going to have the state, they're going to have the army on their ass, and they're going to die. They're going to be killed. He said this in public.
I read that, too. I have a theory that I've put forth at early mornings of the hour, that now we're about 13 hours away from Kiev being completely gone. The Olympics are going to end, and Putin is going to drop the old school fucking iron hammer, dude. On
you know what though, I of all times, this is when this needs to happen. I'm 29. I just turned 29 this month. And if this is going to happen, get it over with now. We need to do this. We need a worldwide cleanse of government. Of government, I mean no government. We need to all realize, like, these guys are the problem. We don't need them. We don't need rulers. Sure, we might need rules. But guess what? we can unanimously agree on rules locally. In a small community, we can be like, hey, how do you guys all want to deal with murderers? Well, like if someone kills someone, we'll do this. And do we all agree on this? Oh, we do? Okay, that's cool. And if you can't agree unanimously, should it be a rule?
Rev, what'd you say? No, it shouldn't be a rule at all. I agree with you. But, Rev, what'd you say about the Holocaust?
I was just joking. I go, Holocaust 2.0. That'll solve all of our problems. It'll be live stream, live on Twitter. It'll be fun.
I tell you what.
Well,
I
don't think we'll even have to get that far. I don't think we'll have to. I don't think we'll have to touch the Jews when it comes to, like, well, they control the banks and blah, blah, blah. Like, dude, the whole Bitcoin thing and all that shit, which, by the way, I'm not, like, an advocate for Bitcoin. I'm kind of skeptical. I'm thinking, like, dude, the banks are probably behind Bitcoin.
No, they're all, it's all
no,
Japanese.
Dude, they'll step out at the last minute after everyone's like, it'll be the world currency. Yeah, have you not noticed that they want a world currency? And they own a lot of the patents on some of these digital currencies. So
it's straight from the horse's mouth.
What happens though if, like, everyone's like, yeah, Bitcoin's a new world currency, and then the banks are like, thank God we own it, you're fucked. What are you going to do then?
I don't want one world currency.
I want competing currencies that are static.
We need to go the other way with currency. Not centralization. We need decentralization with currency.
Exactly.
But my friends who do work on Wall Street, you know, guys who I've been friends with my whole life, and I can't really bring the ethical thing about into it, just history and all that, but Bitcoin is for the short. Like, that's common knowledge on Wall Street, right? Different hedge funds and different investment banks own huge wallets, and they play it for the short. They can manipulate it so easily that all it is, it's turned into a shallow commodity instead of a currency, like pork bellies and fucking trading places. So they can short Bitcoin, by making other, or they can start the process of the devaluation of Bitcoin by pulling strings, like having just last week having Russia stop fucking recognizing it, and the value plummets, they buy, then something else will come up in the media and about Bitcoin, and it's also so, like, trendy right now, that they know the value will go back up, and they do it again.
I'll tell you what's going to happen. I'm gonna corner the frozen concentrated orange juice market, and when I become the richest man in the world, we will have a worldly currency. It'll be the gold Chuck E. Cheese game tokens.
Dude, I love the Chuck E. Cheese game token.
Except it everywhere.
Bring that shit back, dude. I am with you.
Remember those things?
Yeah,
I do. Yes.
Oak, really, dude.
I fucking remember those, man. They were gold to kids. They were fucking gold to kids.
Yep. You can go in there and pay $5. I remember when I was a kid, you can go in there and pay $5 and they would give you a little zippered pouch of the mouse from Chuck E. or the mouse, yeah, the Chuck E. Cheese mouse, and you unzip the side of it, and you got the gold tokens in there. And when you ran out, you'd go to your mom and say, "I need more tokens," and she'd give you another $5 bill, and you get another pouch, and you get so excited, and then you go in the ball pit, and the kids got fucking pink eye, and then everyone's on quarantine. It was a blast.
One of my Jewish friends had the whole Chuck E. Cheese rented out. We were pimping in there.
Whoa, your pizza. Jewish friend had the whole Chuck E. Cheese? I think you're just supporting his argument here that fucking...
Exactly, right? We need six cheese pizzas and four of the matzo balls before the kids go to play the games. And
he had that shit closed down, dude. We were running havoc in there.
Worst pizza ever, by the way.
Yeah, Yeah, not good pizza.
No.
Oh, God. All right, I gotta move on to menu writing. Yo, Rep, thanks for everything. And, yeah, definitely check out Vino's music. It's, you know.
Dude, we're on, like, iTunes and Google Play. If you look up, here's the key. If you type in Blue Vino on Google or whatever, we're, like, all of the top results. I don't know how I figured this out, but a long time ago, when I met Scott, who's our guitar player, he informed me. I didn't know this. He's the one that informed me. He's like, have you ever Googled Blue Vino? And I was like, no. And he said, you realize that you're the very top results. And I was like, I had no idea. And he's like, you know how hard that is to do? To pick a name that's original enough to be all of the top results?
You see that? You see? Yo, Crisis, you see what he did?
I do.
Blue Vino is the official Jew of Google searches.
Dude, he's the money counter, man.
Dude, just to fill you in, so you know where my blood lies, I'm Cherokee Indian. I'm Cherokee Indian. In other words, fucked over. Yeah, that's right. And the other part of me is mostly French Viking. That's where my name comes from, actually. Hotchkiss is a French Viking name. And so I'm Native American and French Viking with some other shit like everybody else. You're mixed with some German and English.
Don't piss him off or he'll be shooting fucking bow and arrows with a Viking helmet off his Porsche.
Yeah, dude. Fucking, you don't even know. You don't even know.
I've got your next album cover, bro. Dude, that is awesome.
Did you see it?
No, I tweeted that shit. You did? No, I'll check it out. But your next one's going to be...
I thought maybe I did. Scott tweeted it, at least.
Your next one's going to be Sitting Bull with a Viking helmet shooting arrows.
You want to know what we wanted to do, but we couldn't get it pulled off because neither of us have a good enough camera to actually take this type of picture in high def.
Like
I need high def. And
stuff
neither
like
of us have a camera.
That's when you tweet me and say, yo, Aaron, can you do this? And I'll do it, man.
Do you have a high-def camera? You got something you can take a really high definition? I mean extreme high definition, like over 1,000 by 1,000.
Over
like
9,000?
No. 9,000? Like pixels on the, you know what I'm fucking saying.
I do. Right now, and it's because it's in between my purchase and selling, I have the same type of camera that took the first image of the Mandelbrot fractal.
What's that?
The Mandelbrot fractal?
Yeah.
It's a Jewish wedding.
It sounds like a Jewish wedding. I would honestly...
They put you on a chair, and there's these little funny white hats, and they eat matzo balls. It's really weird.
The matzo ball, yeah.
Of the Mandelbrot wedding.
Well,
holiday
let me tell you what the original album cover idea was.
The Mandelbrot fractal, real quick, is basically the mathematical visualization of entropy and iteration.
Damn.
Did I catch a niner in there?
Niner.
But that's it. I'm gonna tweet some cool Mandelbrot fractal.
The next album is called Open Minds. Our first album was self-titled. It was Blue Vino. That's it. The next album's called Open Minds. It's more esoteric and a tiny little bit less political than the first album, just a tiny bit. But we had this idea that our album cover would be, and it's not what it is right now, but I don't know how we came up with this. We were just drunk and talking one night, and I was like, yes, that works. It makes sense to me. It makes sense to you. And we were like, sure it does. But it would be like an over-the-top shot, a little bit at an angle, of a toaster. All you get in the shot is a toaster with some toast in it, and you get like five different people's hands with forks in them trying to dig the toast out of the toaster.
Oh, which cool.
Which is extremely dangerous, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you have to make sure that they can see it's still plugged in.
Well, that's the thing. See, now Scott said, here's what it is. They're all digging in the toaster with the forks, and it's dangerous, right? And off in the corner, you see a blue hand holding the plug, and it's not plugged in.
Oh.
So the message is, this is where you get the metaphor, is it's cheesy and funny, but whatever. You know, it's like, don't. Everybody in the world is fucking sticking their forks in toasters, and you're not supposed to do that shit. And the blue hand is like, you'd all be fucking dead if it wasn't for us. Yes, it's arrogant, but that's the point. It's funny and arrogant. And really, it's kind of an inside joke. I don't think anybody would get the metaphor,
except for
me and Scott.
They'd be like, hey, look, it's a picture from Christy Alley's kitchen during breakfast.
Right? Who's the blue-handed person? That guy's dead, isn't he? At least he saved everybody before he died.
it's the last remaining Blue Man Group member.
Vino, the next show Dalek and I do, I think tomorrow, fingers crossed, I think we go under the Revolution Radio banner. And one of the first shows we do after that, I'd love to have you and Scott on and highlight your music.
Nice. Well, tomorrow... Fuck, the weekends, dude, I work at a bar, and so I don't know what time I'm off of work. What time do you start it?
Well, it wouldn't be tomorrow. Like, fucking Northern Lights Index just went to 5. No, it would be down the road. We'll schedule it, you know, we'll schedule it around your schedule. But you guys make really good music. Like, it, you know.
Thank you very much.
I play it at work.
We try really hard.
People come in and they're like, "Who is this?" And then
are you shitting me? Really?
Not at all. And it's a kitchen, dude. Like, and it's
nice.
All the best music is recognized in the kitchen first.
Yes, you have very good. You have very good kitchen music.
Hey, man, have you ever worked in the kitchen? You need some fucking music to motivate you in the goddamn kitchen.
Yes, you do.
The kitchen is like kind of the real life version of the Russell League, right? Like,
right? It is. Yes, it is. You hear all the fucking curse words and all the fucking. That's where people are saying nigger and they shouldn't, but they do anyways. And
and there's a black dude right next to him, and
yeah,
like,
and he's
like,
calling them crackers and shit, and no one gets offended at cracker.
And it's life, and it's like, hey, we're different, but we're working together, and you know, the camaraderie.
You know, the only thing that keeps that type of racism alive is teaching it to children.
That's right. Racism makes the best meals.
I wrote a pretty essay.
Racism makes the best meals.
That should be the title of your next album. Racism makes the best meal. And then have him reaching into the toaster and have a black hand be holding the cord.
Yeah, yeah. or like a cereal box of black Rice Krispies.
There you go. See, you fuck, I better get paid for this. I want my share.
Right.
Dude, you're cutting.
You would. Yeah, you would.
I mean, that is actually a really good analogy, right? Because that's whatever's spoon-fed to people, that becomes their construct, right? The conditioning.
Yeah.
And as long as words, and I did write an essay about this. I sent it to Rebel and a couple other people in regards to the Russell League and basically how I view them as the Lenny Bruce of my section.
The
of
Lenny
the
Bruce? Oh, my God, dude.
Yet they're fucking on a terrorist list and some crazy... Yo, I've got Sue Basco.
No. Wait, whoa. They're on the terrorist list?
Yeah, we are retired. We are retired, but we are actually on a terror list. The ones of us that are self-doxxed, and we have a file with the FBI. It's not good.
That's fucking retarded.
They really do.
They don't have anything better to do with their time.
It's all, well, Rebel knows this, but it's fucking retarded, bro. So anyway, so I jotted down some thoughts and I sent it to Rebel, but this is kind of the point of it was like, as long as we continue this charade of political correctness and neoliberal fucking, you know, you can't recognize any differences because somebody's feelings are going to get hurt. We're just stuck, dude. We're just stuck in the same pattern. And all you have to do is look at history. Nothing, you know, nothing's changed. So go the exact opposite route. Make things so offensive they become familiar and their power is taken away from them, right? That's what Richard Pryor did. That's what Lenny Bruce did.
Don't let satire die is the best way to describe it.
Dude, satire changes fucking culture. It has an incredibly profound effect on culture.
In today's society where every kid gets a fucking trophy, satire
is... Fuck that shit, dude.
Yeah, satire is looked at like racism. And satire, some of the best entertainment was built on satire. And unfortunately, it's going in a bad direction. So everyone says, oh, internet trolls are bad people and they live in the basement and they hold up pent-up aggression. Well, some of us are business owners and some of us, you know, play golf on the weekends. And, you know, I'm a troll.
You know what I do for a day job? I fucking make granite countertops, dude. I make premium fucking granite countertops that only the rich people can fucking afford. I can't afford one. But that's what I do during the day. And guess what? I fucking know how to troll people.
Well, if you had an album called Racism Makes the Best Meals, maybe you could afford some countertops.
Right? I don't know, man.
But, dude, you know, I'm not saying you should be rich, but there's no way you should be poor with the talent you had. Or, you know, that's a relative term, but...
It's not anybody's fault. It's that the music industry is in a long transitional phase where they don't understand what the fuck to do. They're trying to use the old formula. It doesn't work. People are getting sick and tired. Finally, dude, people are getting sick and tired of the